Representative Cliff Stearns wants a congressional investigation of a Nantucket Sound wind farm. Boeing forecasts a healthy world market for the next two decades. And there's a new code of conduct for unmanned vehicles. This is Aero News for Thursday, July 5th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The controversy over the Cape Wind Energy Project, planned for an area off the coast of Massachusetts in Nantucket Sound, continues to swirl. Congressman Cliff Stearns, Republican of Florida, is calling for a congressional investigation into whether or not the White House pressured the FAA into approving the project. The proposed 24-square-mile wind farm will consist of more than 100 wind turbines, each 400 feet tall, and is to be located in the middle of a highly trafficked low-altitude flying corridor in Nantucket Sound. The congressman is basing his call for the investigation on emails obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. In a news release, the congressman says, quote, "The documents reviewed by my office clearly show that the FAA's own experts have determined that the Cape Wind's 42-story, 24-square-mile wind plant would have an adverse effect on the 400,000 annual flights that traverse this airspace. But instead, the FAA succumbed to political pressure and issued its third no-hazard determination in 2010. End quote. In 2011, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia overturned the FAA ruling that the Cape Wind project presented no hazard to aviation, forcing the FAA to reconsider its position. The Boston Herald reports that U.S. Senator Scott Brown, Republican of Massachusetts, on Monday joined the call for the federal investigation into the Cape Wind project. Brown said, quote, "If there is any inference of any backroom deals, there should be an independent investigation," end quote. He dismissed the White House assertion that the probe would be too expensive. The FAA continued to assert as recently as Monday that any employee opinion that might have been written in an email does not represent the official position of the agency. Opponents of the wind farm say not only is it unsafe, it's unsightly and will be visible from the prime vacation island of Martha's Vineyard. Cape Wind, the company which is attempting to build the wind farm, told Fox News that the project has been heavily vetted and it still hopes to begin building wind turbines in Nantucket Sound next year. According to the Boeing 2012 Current Market Outlook released on Monday, the plane maker projects a $4.5 trillion market for 34,000 new airplanes over the next 20 years as the current world fleet doubles in size. The company's annual forecast reflects the strength of the commercial aviation market. Airline traffic is forecast to grow at a 5% annual rate over the next two decades, with cargo traffic projected to grow at an annual rate of 5.2%. The single-aisle market will continue its robust growth. Wide bodies will account for almost $2.5 trillion worth of new airplane deliveries, with 40% of the demand for these long-range airplanes coming from Asian airlines. Robust growth in China, India, and other emerging markets is a major factor in the increased deliveries over the next 20 years. Low-cost carriers, with their ability to stimulate traffic with low fares, are growing faster than the market as a whole. There is also strong demand to replace older, less fuel-efficient airplanes. Replacement accounts for 41% of the new deliveries in the forecast. The market for new airplanes is set to become more geographically balanced in the next two decades. Asia-Pacific, including China, will continue to lead the way in total airplane deliveries. Boeing, meanwhile, has revised downward its projection for freighters over the next 20 years. Still, the world freighter fleet is projected to nearly double, from 1,740 aircraft today to 3,200 at the end of the forecast period. The Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International has published the Unmanned Aircraft System Operations Industry Code of Conduct, a set of guidelines to provide AUVSI members and those who design, test, and operate UAS for public and civil use with recommendations for their safe, non-intrusive operation. The guidelines recommend when and by whom UAS should be flown to minimize risk. They commit to complying with all federal, state, and local laws and cooperating with authorities at all levels. The guidelines also commit to respecting other users of the airspace, the privacy of individuals, the concerns of the public, and improving public awareness of UAS. But the announcement of the code has done little to quiet critics of the use of UAVs in the national airspace, who cite privacy as one of their primary concerns. ACLU lobbyist Chris Calabrese told the Seattle Times that while it's important that the association is paying attention to privacy, non-binding guidelines, no matter how well-intentioned, are no substitute for enforceable laws. Calabrese said Congress should step in to regulate the new technology. UAVs are expected to be big business. Analysts say the market for the aircraft will double over the next 10 years to more than $11 billion in the United States, with much of the growth coming from police departments. The FAA Modernization and Reform Act, signed into law on February 14th of this year, included a provision requiring the FAA to safely integrate UAS into the national airspace by September 2015. The airline division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters delivered a letter to the National Mediation Board on Monday requesting to be released from mediation in its contract negotiations on behalf of pilots employed by Indianapolis-based Republic Airways. Citing an impasse in mediation efforts to reach a settlement with the company, the Teamsters have requested that the NMB end the mediation process and extend arbitration to the parties. The Teamsters said in the letter they have dutifully committed to mediation with Republic Airways, while the company has instead engaged in a pattern of unilateral efforts to undercut the process. The company attempted to discipline one of the pilots for performing work on behalf of the union, the Teamsters said. Additionally, Republic Airways has tried to impose a new pay rate and instituted a signing bonus to lure new pilots to the company rather than negotiating these items under the auspices of the NMB. The request to end mediation for the pilots and resume arbitration is meant to move the dispute to the next stage of the dispute settlement procedure in accordance with the Railway Labor Act. Meanwhile, the airline division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters said Monday it has made an application to the National Mediation Board for a representation election to be held for the pilots of Allegiant Air. Allegiant Air, subsidiary of Las Vegas-based Allegiant Travel Company, employs 363 pilots flying McDonnell Douglas MD-80s and Boeing 757s. This will be the first time Allegiant pilots have voted on union representation. The airline, of course, said in a statement that it would like to continue to negotiate directly with its pilots rather than have a union intervene. When Aero News continues, not guilty by reason of insanity. The X-3 is now appearing in Huntsville, Alabama, and the C-130s are flying again.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, July 5th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A judge in Amarillo, Texas, ruled in a bench trial Tuesday that JetBlue pilot Clayton F. Osmond, who left the cockpit and frightened passengers by screaming about religion and terrorism, is not guilty by reason of insanity. U.S. District Judge Mary Lou Robinson ruled that Osmond be sent to a federal mental health facility until another hearing on or before August the 6th, at which time she will decide whether he can be released or committed to a mental facility. Osmond was indicted on a single charge of interfering with a flight crew after the March 27th incident aboard a flight from Las Vegas to New York that he was piloting. A psychiatric examination had found him competent to stand trial. Osmond's attorney had no comment on the verdict, and JetBlue would say only that they continue to support the Osmond family and that he is still employed on an inactive basis. Anthony Antolino, a passenger on the flight, declined comment on the verdict Tuesday, but told the Associated Press he has flown JetBlue and other airlines since the incident and has felt no reservations about air travel, saying, quote, "I think things like this are few and far between. However, I think the FAA ought to use this as an example in determining how to screen pilots and those who control airplanes. There was no tragedy here, thankfully, but the FAA shouldn't have to wait for a tragedy," end quote. At least 10 passengers sued JetBlue after the incident, claiming they feared for their lives and that the airline was grossly negligent in allowing Osmond to fly. Eurocopter continues its U.S. tour of the X-3 high-speed hybrid helicopter this week in Huntsville, Alabama. The X-3 demonstrated its unique flight characteristics, which include a cruise speed of 200 knots, high rates of climb, and executing high-speed maneuvers that are not routine for conventional rotary wing aircraft. The X-3 has already demonstrated a maximum speed of 232 knots at 80% power and a rate of climb of 5,500 feet per minute. The tour began when the X-3 made its debut at the Grand Prairie, Texas headquarters of Eurocopter's U.S. subsidiary, American Eurocopter. There, Eurocopter hosted a fly-in of its product line, ranging from the pioneering Alouette and BO-105 to today's UH-72A Lakota for the U.S. Army, the U.S. Coast Guard's MH-65C Dolphin, as well as the EC-225, AS-350, and EC-145, which are used in civilian operations, law enforcement, medical airlift, and parapublic missions. Some guest pilots will fly aboard the X-3 during its visit to Huntsville's Redstone Army Arsenal Airfield on July 9th and 10th. The X-3 will then travel to Fort Bragg's Simmons Army Airfield in North Carolina, Virginia's Manassas Regional Airport, Davison Army Airfield at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and it will finish its U.S. tour at the Pentagon. The military's fleet of MAFS-equipped C-130s are back in the air fighting western wildfires after a one-day grounding following a fatal crash over the weekend. Four crew members were killed and two injured when one of the aircraft crashed while fighting a fire in South Dakota last Sunday. A statement from the U.S. Northern Command said, quote, "Operational flying was suspended for one day to review flying and safety procedures in the context of what is known so far about the crash," end quote. The cause of the accident is still under investigation. The crash was the first in the 40-year history of the MAFS fleet. Finally, there's this news from overseas. The pilot of an Air India passenger plane seated his mother in the cockpit for a domestic flight, refusing to take off without her after he could not get her a free ticket, this according to several media reports. The pilot allegedly demanded that his mother be issued a dummy boarding card, and when that didn't work, he placed her in a jump seat reserved for the crew for the two-hour flight to the capital city of New Delhi. The pilot said that his mother was sick and that he could not leave her at the airport. Air India pilots are allowed some free tickets for themselves and family members, subject to seat availability. However, the duty manager's report showed this flight was fully booked, with 122 passengers on board. It was delayed for 20 minutes because of the incident. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening, and with Mommy on board or not, you're now cleared for departure.